And welcome in, everyone, here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show on KJN. A chance to talk softball and baseball for you. And we're going to start off with some softball action here with Atlantic head coach Terry Hensman. Coach, once again, thanks for joining us here.
You bet, Chris. Thanks thanks for having me.
All right. Well, your team has kind of had an up-and-down week here a little bit this week, and it's a very busy week. You still got about half of it left as we're talking here right now with you. We're actually recording this on Friday before you have a doubleheader that you're making up against St. Albert, and a busy Saturday for you as well. But you started off the week well with a couple of nice wins early on.
Yeah, we took a couple days off over the weekend, and I think the girls had an opportunity to recharge a little bit and have some fun. And we did get together on Sunday night and do some fishing and out at the Anderson place. But then we came back recharged against Harlan. Their pitcher Morgan Chabon had returned for the first early on anyway. She was injured early on and had made her first full return, I think, in that game against us. And we did a really good job at the plate, I thought, against her. Obviously, she was a little rusty, but Alexis Handel had a home run, had a couple of singles, had five RBIs. Bailey Newell, using the slap a technique from the left-hand side, got three singles and scored three runs and had an RBI. And as you look up and down the lineup, we got people on base. And the biggest thing for us early on in the week is when we got those people on base, we were getting hits to drive them in. People were stepping up and being able to drive in runs for us. Allie gave us an excellent outing in the circle. Her off-speed pitches were working very well. Anytime that you can strike out six batters from Harlan, that's huge. So it was kind of an all-round effort as far as offense, defense, and pitching.
Yeah, that's a nice game. You got started really early in that game, scoring runs in both the first and the second to get out to a nice lead, and then could just continue to play well. And, of course, anytime Atlantic Harlan get together in whatever activity it may be, it's always a little extra added fun, and nice to pick up a win like that to start the week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's one of the keys for us is to try to get a lead early. It's a lot easier for Allie to throw with the lead. It's a lot easier for – takes a little pressure off our hitters. You know, a lot of that had to do probably with the fact that with a two-run lead and then with the five runs that we had in the second inning to get a seven-run lead, it's huge for us.
You know, turn around and play another tough Hawkeye 10 team on Tuesday night in Lewis Central and end up with another good outcome there. And you once again got started early and get some runs right away in the first.
Yeah, that's probably a quality, biggest or most quality win that we've had throughout the course of the season. We've played some pretty tough teams, and we played some tough teams well. But, you know, Lewis Central, I think, only had, now has three conference losses. Two of those were to us. And they've had five losses overall. And they play that tough 4-5A schedule that they have throughout the course of the summer. So we're really, really pleased to be able to walk away with a win there. And I guess Brooke Newell, in this case, was kind of the girl that got us started. Lewis Central did jump off to a 1-0 lead right away in the very beginning of the top of the first, but then Aaron gets hit by a pitch to lead off the game for us, and then Brooke hits the two-run home run, which was part of a three-hit night for her. She had a home run, two doubles, three RBI, scored a couple of runs, so she did a very, very good job for us at the plate. And then defensively, we didn't have any errors in that game. And that's really one of the things that has let us down later in the week was the fact that we were kind of kicking the ball around a little bit and allowing teams to take advantage of some of our mistakes. So we played that. That was a very, very clean game. Again, Allie did a great job pitching there with nine strikeouts against, obviously, if you take a look at the quit stats, obviously a very, very good hitting Lewis Central team.
Yeah, no walks for her in that game as well, so a nice outing overall there for your team, taking care of the things that you can control and getting a nice win. You turn around then and play a game against Denison that ends in a little bit of controversy. You thought that you had a game that was going to be tied, ended up giving them one more run at the end of the inning there that got them the lead, and then you weren't able to get the runs at the end of the game to try to get back at them. But overall, a tight game, I guess, throughout.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those unique calls. I've been around the game for 30, 40 years and haven't seen anything quite like that happen. Just kind of, I don't know, simultaneously tagging and forcing out a runner, and then it kind of falls into the hands of the umpire. And you know, as I take a look at it, I can't necessarily blame them. I mean, they have to make a call, and it's a tough job. And really, throughout the course of the game, the seven innings that we played, we really didn't get the job done. Defensively, we were fine. I think we maybe had one error in that contest, something like that, or no errors probably. The biggest thing was we just couldn't get that big hit. You know, we talked about the Harlan game and the Lewis Central game. We had runners on base, and people stepped up, or players stepped up and got, put the ball in play and got runs across. And, you know, as I look through it, we left 11 girls on base in that game. Six of those were with less than two outs. And pretty much up and down the lineup, if you take a look at how those girls were left there, it was a pop out or a strikeout or both if it was less than two outs. So, you know, we had chances that wouldn't have been put in the hands of the umpires to make decisions. Even in the seventh, after the decision had been made, we had Brooke was on second, and Alexis Handel was on first after being hit by a pitch with one out. And you would think that with the heart of our order coming up that we could get one hit to drive one run across the plate to tie the game back up. But, you know, very typical of how the night went for us. We could not. So we out-hit them. You know, that was the same thing that happened to us up at Harlan. You know, we out-hit Harlan by three or four hits, but the difference was they grouped theirs together. Dennison did in the sixth inning, capped by the big home run. But, you know, it was a tough loss for us, but it was one hopefully that we were going to take away some lessons from and learn some things about ourselves.
And then in contrast, I guess, to earlier in the week when you were, you know, getting those hits when you had runners on bases and not making the mistakes, sounds like Thursday night kind of turned out a little bit of the opposite of that. Not quite as crisp as you needed to be against a good Creston team that's right up there at the top of the conference as well, and they nip a couple from you.
Yeah, you can't make those kinds of mistakes. I mean, that's the bottom line. We can cut it and look at it any way that you want to, but you can't have five errors in a game and expect to win against anybody, especially a top team with good pitching and a team that doesn't make mistakes themselves in Creston, and then turn right around again in the nightcap and make four errors and in essence give them runs. I mean, they're going to take full advantage of the opportunities when they get four and five outs per inning. And, you know, I think really what it boils down to is the difference there. Allie might have gotten a little tired in the second game. It's been a long week. She gave up 12 hits, which is a little uncharacteristic. But, you know, the problem for us playing all these double headers now that we've gotten the rainouts and things against the same teams, teams are seeing her six, seven, eight times in any given night. And, you know, we always take a look at second time through the lineup. We should improve our hitting and our approach at the plate second time through the lineup. And you can't imagine improving your chances when you're fifth, sixth, seventh time through the lineup. So, you know, I guess we kind of expect that with doubleheaders, kind of like we have tonight. But, you know, that's part of the game, and that's something that we have to work ourselves through. And we didn't give her much support, both at the plate, scoring just the one run in the first game. We did score five in the second game to lose that game 9-5. But, you know, maybe a little bit more run support and definitely some better defense.
Well, and as you alluded to here, we've got a couple more games here, another kind of makeup situation where you got rained out earlier with St. Albert, and now you're going to play a couple of games with them here on Friday night, and then you've got a busy Saturday as well at the Carroll Tournament. I guess from a coach's perspective, you've got this busy week here that you got all these games going on, and then you're going to get a couple of days off before you head into that regional contest. Is this good for your team to be able just to play this many games and get in the swing of things, or do you think there's any adverse effects of maybe a little bit too much time out there?
Well, I think there's a fine line there someplace, you know, between being sharp and being tired. And you know, at times it depends on how the game goes. That's why it's important for us to jump out early and have some momentum going into the mid to later innings. We wanted to do that against Creston last night, but it didn't work out that way, and we can see what the result is. You know, but at the same token, you know, the opposite of that was going to be we were going to practice. And, you know, at this time of year, you've pretty much practiced everything that you need to as far as situations go. You're brushing up and continuing to work on your hitting and your fielding skills and stuff like that to keep them sharp. But, you know, it's if we were practicing at this point, we'd have kids getting, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 ground balls. You might sit in a game and get two ground balls in it at this point. So, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. Yeah, it's good to be playing. It's good to be playing good at this time of year. But, you know, it's the game experience will help. But on the flip side of it, we try to not tire ourselves out.
Well, and here these next couple of days, you do have some tough competition as well, and maybe some competition as well on Saturday that you're not really that familiar with. You start off your day against Coon Rapids Baird team that you're not real familiar with. Of course, you know, class separation there as well, but maybe some competition that you haven't seen, so, you know, get a little extra experience in there.
Well, you know, the nice thing about it is, you're exactly right, it's not like playing the same teams over and over again where they know you and you know them and all the tendencies and who steals bases and how they hit. So, you know, we'll try to go up there and have some fun. We start off at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Tiger Night Classic up in Carroll this Saturday against Coon Rapids Baird. Should we win that game? Either way, I guess, if we win or lose, we would play the winner or loser of Carroll and East Sac. The only two teams that we're really familiar with are on the – actually, three teams, I should say, that we're familiar with are on the other side of the bracket. Obviously, Kemper, since they're in our conference, we play them twice. Trainer, we played down at the Carroll tournament, and Council Bluffs TJ early in the year we had a doubleheader with. So we do have some teams on the opposite side of the bracket that – we might that sooner or later we'll cross, but you know, it's a good tournament. They have it at the Little League Fields north of town. They have some quality teams that come in and play, so we may have to shuffle some things around a little bit because of the long week, but we hope to go up there and come back with a few wins.
Well, and then, of course, after Saturday, you've got a couple of days, I guess, to prepare yourselves and get ready here for what you hope will be a good, successful postseason run. You've got a game on Wednesday night to start regional play at 7 o'clock against Red Oak. It'll be here in town, so a nice opportunity for your team. I guess here as you play this weekend, what are you looking for these last few games to try to get yourself ready for that moment?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we're going to be looking for against the doubleheader tonight, and well, tonight particularly, is bouncing back after having the tough loss at Denison, and then two losses against Creston. Although, you know, the thing is, defense now has become an issue for us a little bit, and I think we'll be okay. You know, it's one of those nights where things just don't go your way sometimes, and unfortunately, we were playing two games that night, so we're hoping to shore that up a little bit and get back to where we were when we're playing games with no errors or maybe just a single error in it. I think another thing we need to do is our approach at the plate. We kind of lost, I think, in a couple of instances this week, even in the games that we won. Maybe a little bit discipline. We were chasing some pitches that we probably shouldn't have been chasing. We were swinging at some pitches early that probably weren't the best pitches, even though they may have been strikes. They weren't the pitches that are in our best interest to hit that early in the count. I think we had some instances where 3-0 pitches, 3-1 pitches, 2-1 pitches were coming down the middle of the plate, and we were letting them go. So that would be another thing that we want to sharpen up a little bit, and just our general approach to the game.
And I think this baseball and softball sports are just kind of a little bit unique in the way that you're playing so many games throughout the season, and that's, you know, kind of the nature of it. You want to see teams more than once. That's how you kind of judge how you really match up against each other with that, you know, things averaging out when you play a few games. And then you get into the postseason, and you've just got that one game that you got to win to move on. So is there much in the mindset that changes with that, or you just try to go out and be the best team that you can be on any given day?
You know, I think we got to just do what you said, that the latter there. We just got to go out and be the best team that we can be on that given day. You know, you can overanalyze things and micromanage and things like that, but at the very end, you just have to go out and play the game that you know that you're capable of playing, hit the ball the way that we have throughout the course of the season, get some people on base, especially in the lower half of our order, so the top half can drive them in. Allie's got to be sharp in the circle, hitting her spots, using her off-speed pitches. And, you know, we start off with Red Oak. We've already beaten them three times, and that's difficult, I think. I don't care who the opponent is, to beat a team four times throughout the course of the season. We had they were here at our tournament, and as it turns out, we crossed over and had to play them in the bracket play. But and then the doubleheader that we had down there about seems like a month ago, but I think it was just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, we have to start off there and just basically take care of business. We were fortunate enough to do our job early on to get the number two seed in the region. So we get two home games for sure out of the deal, depending upon what Humboldt does. And you know, right now, the team I probably wouldn't want to play was Kemper. And Kemper starts off with Humboldt there. They beat us earlier. They're looking very, very sharp. Aaron Boland's got them playing pretty well up there. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens on the other half of the bracket.
Should be a lot of fun, and we appreciate you coming in, Coach, to speak with us here this week, and hopefully next week we'll have a lot more to talk about and get ready for.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Atlantic Head Softball Coach Terry Hensman. We'll take a break, be back with more here in our Saturday Morning Coaches Show in just a moment here on KJAN.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Ultimate Lawn and Power in Atlantic, offering a great selection of lawnmowers and outdoor power equipment. They also offer rental equipment, including backhoes, skid loaders, excavators, and more. Visit Ultimate Lawn and Power at 1309 Southwest 7th Street in Atlantic today. For all of your concrete needs, contact T. Peters, LLC. Tony specializes in commercial and residential concrete, parking lot maintenance, stamped and colored concrete, dirt work, trucking, and retaining walls, plus snow removal. Call T. Peters at 515-202-3656 today. The Car Guys offer a good selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans, plus they have financing options to get you rolling. For all of your pre-owned vehicle needs, stop by the Car Guys, located on the west edge of Atlantic today. The best buys are at the Car Guys.
And welcome back here to our Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on KJN. Now getting a chance to speak with it. Atlantic Head Baseball Coach Trace Peterson. Coach, first off, thanks for giving us some time again this week.
Absolutely, no problem.
Well, Coach, you started off the week actually in the midst of a little bit of a lull. You guys hit a five-game losing streak, and then here late in the week, you've been able to bounce back here with a couple of wins. We're speaking to you on Friday before you have another game on the road at Shenandoah. Anything, I guess, that stands out to you in particular, why you had that little bit of a downswing there?
Well, you know, every year, you know, once you start playing teams for the second time through, you get an indication whether you've improved throughout the year or kind of stayed kind of in a plateau. And in my opinion, we have stayed in a plateau for a couple of reasons. You know, the newness of baseball kind of wears off, and then you hit the grind about that third or fourth week. We've talked about that as a group. You know, the kids, you're playing four or five times a week. It's hot. They just kind of, I don't know whether they get tired or what the deal is, but that's kind of what that took place. And plus, you know, like Harlan and a Lewis Central, they're going to be tough teams for us to play, even if we're playing a flawless game. So, you know, combination there is what I would say.
Yeah, definitely some good teams during that stretch. It just seemed like you look across the board with the scores during that run, and you know, run production was definitely an issue for you guys. Just, you know, the most you got out of any of those games was just a couple of runs up on the board. So always hard to beat anybody when you're not able to put those runs across the plate.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, with the group of kids that we have this year, you know, we weren't getting anybody on without any outs or with one out. You know, if you take a look up and down in our lineup with the youth and inexperience, we're not going to drive gap to gap with people. So, you know, the power that we have, I mean, we've got one home run. We've got a couple of kids for the most part that are double hitters. But outside of that, we're single hitters, and we have to rely on some small ball. And if people are not on base, it's pretty tough to hit and run. It's pretty tough to bunt and manufacture runs.
Well, the nice thing after you had that five-game downswing, you were able to – bat out a couple of wins here on Wednesday and Thursday nights as you knocked off ADM and Creston, both by 10-0 totals. So got to feel good, I guess, as a coach to see your team not only bounce back, but you know, bounce back in a big way with putting a lot of runs up.
Yep, a couple of really nice pitching performances Wednesday night. Ryan Hawkins, probably the last two to three innings that he threw against ADM is as well as he had thrown all year long. He had the most pop on the baseball at that particular time as well. And then last night, and we had some good timely hitting against ADM as well. You know, their first pitcher that they threw had some really good stuff. He struggled a little bit in throwing strikes, and we were able to take advantage of a few walks, a few errors, and then trickle in a hit here and there, and that's kind of the recipe that we have to be successful. Last night we had another strong pitching performance by Chase McLaren and kind of avenged a loss down at Creston the first time we played. We lost down there 5-4. We were up 4-2 going into the bottom of the fifth inning, and they played it three, and then their pitcher kind of settled down just a little bit and pretty much took the bull by the horns and shut us down for about the last four innings down there. But so that was a good win. You know, it's one of those that, you know, they're all upperclassmen at Creston. They're all juniors, lots of experience. They've been playing for a couple of years, and so to be honest, that was one of those games that I thought was a flip of the coin going into play, and we came out with the win.
Yeah, really nice performance there for you. And you mentioned, you know, Creston, a team with some upperclassmen and experience. And, of course, you knew coming into this year that you only had a couple of those. You have a lot of youth on the roster. And I was just kind of glancing over the overall stats for you guys here this morning. And, you know, it looks like you're getting, you know, nice across-the-board production from a lot of young guys. There's four or five guys that have gotten double-digit RBI totals, double-digit hit totals. So, you know, they're starting to get into their own here as young players.
Yep. And, you know, you just kind of hope that, you know, that inexperience. And I am going into the year with replacing five starters, basically six for the most part. Whenever the game was going to slow down for these kids, it would be then I thought we would be able to compete on a consistent basis. But, you know, for a couple of weeks here, I mean, last week and then at the start of this week, we were kind of inconsistent in all three facets of the game, whether it was pitching, whether it was hitting, you know. And during that stretch, you know, we still had lots of opportunities to score runs, but we just didn't get those two-out hits. And regardless of what level you're playing at, two-out hits is what it's all about, and we just weren't getting them during those stretches. So, you know, that's part of baseball, you know, getting those two outs. You take a look at the, you know, the major leagues, college, whatever it may be. If you can get some timely two-out hitting, which is what kind of what we got earlier on in the season, then you have a tendency to be a little bit more successful. And it just seemed like when people were getting into scoring position, we just weren't getting that timely hit. And you know, and then that trickles over to your defense. They feel a little bit more pressure, and the pitcher feels like, well, gee whiz, if I give up two or three runs, we could be in trouble. So it was nice the last couple nights to get some of those early leads, and pitchers could settle down and get after it.
Yeah, and hopefully that'll carry over for you as we speak to you today as you head into that game against Shenandoah. And then your schedule kind of got mixed around a little bit here coming up next week. It's kind of a light overall schedule for you, but you did have to move some games around due to some rainouts.
Yeah, and so on Tuesday, we'll have a JV game against Glenwood at 3 o'clock, a varsity game at about 5:30 or 5 o'clock against Glenwood, and then a varsity game against St. Albert. Primarily because we're hosting district girls softball, and, you know, we couldn't basically have one gate for the guys and another gate for the gals, even though you're at the same complex. So we had to kind of jockey some things around. And you know, that's just part of the summertime. You have to be a little bit flexible and change things up if you need to.
Yeah, I guess that'll be a little bit of a unique situation there for you, getting the chance to play kind of a doubleheader style, but getting to see two teams in one night.
Yeah, exactly. So, and hey, both are going to be good teams, you know. Glenwood Glenwood took advantage of lots of errors the first time that we played. I mean, I think we had six errors in one inning. I mean, for one inning, it kind of looked like it was a soccer match as many times as we kicked the ball around, for heaven's sake. And, you know, with a 4-1 game going into that setting, and we had some quality opportunities up to that point. So, you know, once again, we'll have to clean some things up on a continuous basis if we're going to look to be successful on either one of those.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck here these next few games. And, of course, we'll catch up with you here next week and hopefully have a lot more to talk about here down the road as we start to get closer to the postseason for your team.
Yep, it's not too long. 2 weeks from today is first round of the tournament. So, you know, and we've kind of talked about it as a group, is that we really have to focus on cleaning things up and get that hunger back in to be wanting to be successful, whatever it may be. If it means putting in more time swinging, more time taking ground balls, if you're not feeling confident, then that's what's got to be done. And if we can clean those up, you know, then we can do some things.
Coach, thanks so much for your time.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right, that's Atlantic Head Baseball Coach Trace Peterson. We'll take a break and wrap up our Saturday morning coaches show in just a moment here on KJAN.
This broadcast is brought to you in part by these members of the KJAN All Sports Boosters Association. Peerbolt Chiropractic in Atlantic has been providing care continuously for 43 years. The office is open 6 days a week, and with three doctors on staff offering full body care, they are truly there for you. To set up an appointment or for questions, please call Peerbolt Chiropractic in Atlantic at 712-243-1554. Sanbothy Firestone offers a complete selection of Firestone tires for your vehicle. They also offer alignments, lubes, oil filters, and batteries. Sanbothy Firestone, located on Highway 92 on the east edge of Griswold. The Atlantic Specialty Care. Their goal is to be the best provider in the long-term care field. If a member of your family is in need of long-term care, please stop by or call the Atlantic Specialty Care.
And thanks for joining us here for our Saturday morning coaches show here on KJAN, our chance to talk a little Atlantic High School softball and baseball. Thanks to the head coaches, Terry Hensman for the softball team and Trace Peterson for the baseball squad, for joining us on this morning's program. We'll catch up with them again next week and hopefully have some more good news as the postseason gets underway for softball and baseball, of course, getting ready to do that here after that next weekend. So we'll get ready to talk about all that here on our Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Thanks for joining us here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.